going around, so just pray for them that the Lord will give them a quick recovery. If you would, please start, let's go to Luke chapter 1. I hope you can make it back this evening. We've got something special I want to show you this evening, so I hope you're here. If you're not, you'll miss it. So I hope you can make it. Luke chapter 1, as we continue through the book of Luke on our Sundays, Luke chapter 1. Let me read you this real quick first. Improving the pastor's preaching. Now I got your attention. Amen. Sunday, the sermon was sluggish. 'Twas hard attention to keep. The theme was faultily chosen. It almost put me to sleep. Monday was blue with sheer boredom. Tuesday was carnal by choice. Wednesday, my conscience was wakened by pleas from a still small voice. Prayer meeting left me uplifted. Loyalty lingering long. Thursday, my heart was responding. Friday, his nudging was strong. I came to thorough repentance the following Saturday. I yielded in full surrender as all on the altar I lay. Sunday, the sermon was perfect, superb, and quite at its peak. Amazing how greatly the pastor improved in the space of just 1 week. Luke chapter 1, and verse 39. We'll begin in verse 39, read down through verse 55. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Everybody know who that is? That's John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And so as we've gone through now in the book of Luke, we saw God's promise to Mary that the Holy Ghost would overshadow her and that she as a virgin would bring forth a son, not just any son, the Son of God into the world. And of course, there was already a promise made for Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is now with child, John the Baptist. And soon we'll see his birth, and then after that, of course, the birth of Christ to be recorded. But here in this passage of Scripture, notice something that's said a few times here about Mary. Look with me, please, in verse 42. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Verse 45, and blessed is she that believed. Verse 48, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And so I'm preaching a message this morning on the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Blessed Virgin Mary. I hear some chuckles. Amen. And the reason is, I understand what it is, Mary's gotten a bad rap. Amen. because of a certain orientation of people that take up over a billion people on the planet, Mary has gotten a real bad rap. But we need to make sure that we don't get off balance the other way. Amen? Man, I heard of some guys from my Bible school. They went down to a Catholic church and stole a Mary statue, put a noose around it, hooked it onto the bumper of their car, and started driving up and down Palafox. Boink, boink, you know, banging this. Mary didn't do nothing wrong. Amen? I don't think that's the way to handle things. But we have to realize that she has gotten a bad rap, but she was a great woman. And the Bible says she was blessed. How many of you would like to be blessed in 2012? Amen. Well, you could be, if we can learn some things, I believe, from Mary. And it's not Mary's fault that there's just a bunch of demon-possessed people out there worshiping her. Mary didn't ask for that. You don't find anywhere in the Bible where Mary asked for people to worship her or make statues of her or bow down before her. You know the last words Mary ever is found saying in the Bible? She turns to the people and points to Christ and says, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." That's the only command you find from Mary in the whole Bible, is to listen to Jesus. Amen? Amen. And that's what we ought to do. Now, I'm going to give you the background on where all this Mariology, and that's what Mariolatry, the worship of Mary, I'm going to show you where all that stuff comes from. Hold your place here in Luke. Look with me in Revelation chapter 17. You say you're preaching against somebody else's religion. Well, listen, they're the ones that started it. I'm just trying to stick up for Mary, okay? It's Jesus' mother. Do you love Jesus? Amen. Then you ought to want to stick up for her mother. And her mother's been given a bad rap. And there's a reason for it. Look here in Revelation 17 and notice who the Bible's talking about. I don't want you to have any doubts about it at all. Revelation 17 and verse 1, "There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast." That's the Antichrist. Study the scripture, you know that's the Antichrist. Verse 4. "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color." Anybody know a religion that's the foundational colors for that religion? Purple and scarlet. "And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." That's the real Christians. And this woman has been made drunk with their blood. And it's not Islam. Islam hasn't... You know who's responsible for killing more Bible-believing Christians than Islam? Roman Catholicism. And if you don't know that, it's because you don't study history, and you sure aren't going to get it in the media. But that's Rome. Now, I'll prove it to you. I'm not just talking. That's Rome. Verse 9, "And here is mine which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." Anybody know where the city is that's on seven hills? Sure, it's Rome. "On which the woman sitteth." That's present tense. You don't think John knew what he was talking about? He knew where the city on seven hills were. "What are those many waters that she's sitting on?" Verse 15. "And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." She's all over the world. That's Catholic, see, universal. 18. "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth," that's present tense, "over the kings of the earth." Somebody tell me what city was reigning over the kings of the earth when John's writing the book of Revelation in AD 96? Rome. It's Rome. But Rome has turned into Mystery Babylon. How did Rome turn into Mystery Babylon? Let me give you a short history lesson here. I don't want to take too much time on this, but just so you understand where all this stuff comes from. The Bible teaches that the beginning of the kingdom of Nimrod was at Babel, or in other words, Babylon. That's back in Genesis chapter 11, which is called the land of Shinar in the Bible. The wickedness of Babylon is evidenced by the story of the Tower of Babel, which is related in Genesis chapter 11. The people of Babel determined that they would build a huge tower in their city in direct defiance to God. They were in defiance toward God because they did not want to be scattered across the face of the earth. They wanted to bring in a new world order, I guess. As God commanded Noah and his descendants in Genesis 9:1, in order to avoid this, they wanted to build this tower that would make a name for them. They felt this would help to bind them together and keep them from scattering. But all this was in disobedience to God. God forced them to do his will by confounding their language and forcing them to disperse and try to regroup according to a common tongue. But this small incident is very indicative of the people who followed after Nimrod in his rebellion against God. Following the death of Nimrod, his heathen form of worship was continued by his wife, Queen Semiramis. Let me get that right. Semiramis, Queen Semiramis. She claimed that her husband had been the sun god and was to be worshipped. Sometime after this, Queen Semiramis conceived through adultery and gave birth to an illegitimate son, whom she named Tammuz, T-A-M-M-U-Z. It is interesting to note here that Ezekiel 8:14 records the incident of women weeping in lamentation for Tammuz. The prophet is told that he will someday see greater abominations than this one, which indicates that even sorrow for Tammuz was wicked and idolatrous. Upon the birth of Tammuz, Semiramis declared that he was actually Nimrod reborn. In addition to this, she also claimed that her son was supernaturally conceived. Now, Semiramis undoubtedly knew of God's promise of a redeemer. Satan used her knowledge of this to induce her to set up a counterfeit plan of God's redemption by having her claim that Tammuz was to be the savior of the world. However, even though Semiramis claimed to have given birth to a savior, it was she that was worshipped, not the son. She was worshipped as the mother of gods. So from this point on, the principal role of the woman, as opposed to the son, is seen. Many different ideas from Babylonian religion have come down through the generations. Probably the key doctrine is that of the mother-son relationship. As the Babylonian people were scattered throughout the world, they took with them the idea that Semiramis had miraculously conceived and given birth to Nimrod reincarnated. Thus, all through the world, men began to worship a divine mother and godchild long before the birth of Christ. You have paintings, pictures, statues of a woman with a little child, and she usually has a big son behind her. And those pictures go back over 1,000, 2,000 years before Jesus Christ ever showed up. That's not Christianity. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's not the Mary of the Bible. That's another Jesus. That's another Mary. Thus, all through the world, men began to worship a divine mother and godchild long before the birth of Christ. The woman appears in different ways and is called by different names, but she is always the same person. The Chinese called her Xingmu. The Germans worshipped Hertha. The Scandinavians worshipped Sisa. In India, she was known as Indrani. But the woman was really Semiramis, the queen of Babylon. Even Israel, when it fell into apostasy, worshipped Ashtaroth, who was known to the Jews as the Queen of Heaven, as told in Jeremiah 44:17-19. So what does the Roman Catholic Church today refer to Mary as? The Queen of Heaven. The spread of this doctrine was great at the time of Christ. The worship of the Great Mother was very popular under the Roman Empire. Inscriptions prove that the two, the mother and child, received divine honors, not only in Italy and especially in Rome, but also in the provinces, particularly in Africa, Spain, Portugal, France, Germany, and Bulgaria. So it is apparent that the whole world was aware of and probably worshiped the mother-son relationship. You know, you find Paul over there in Ephesus, and they're worshiping, great is Diana of the Ephesians. A goddess, see. So it is apparent that the whole world was aware of and probably worshipped the mother-son relationship. It was into this time period that Christ was born. As he accomplished his ministry and as the apostles went out and started churches, the word of God spread throughout the world. However, as the centuries passed, many of these churches fell into apostasy. Paganism began mingling with Christianity. Constantine, the emperor of Rome, professed to become a Christian and began to push Christianity on the pagans, not by conversion, but simply by letting them join. Many of these pagans who joined the church brought with them their beliefs about the Great Mother. They had grown up with this belief so long that they did not want to give it up. So the church compromised. Rather than force the pagans to give up the Babylonian idea of the Great Mother, they decided, in order to increase their numbers, to adopt this belief into the church. Mary, the mother of Jesus, became Great Mother to the pagans. This satisfied both sides. The Christians were happy because the pagans were worshiping the Christian God. The pagans were happy because they had their Great Mother to worship. Thus, little by little, the worship of Mary worked its way into the church, which is known today as the Roman Catholic Church. And all that thing is a result of a combination of paganism and Christianity. And you mix the two together, you know what you got? A great whore. And that's what the Bible calls her. That's what God calls her. And what's happened is the true gospel has been adulterated. Ask a priest, ask the Pope, what you have to do to go to heaven. You know what they're going to do? They're going to give you a list a mile long of sacraments and things you have to do, and the stations of the cross and the beads and the prayers, everything you have to do. You know what the Bible says you have to do to go to heaven? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How about that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Christ died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. Believe the gospel, you get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. A gift. You don't earn a gift. You don't work for a gift. You receive it by faith. Now, how have people been blinded to that? By a church. You know, most people that are adamant against Christianity, you know why? Because they grew up in a religion of bondage. That's why. We have ex-Catholics in this church, and they appreciate this message if nobody else does, because they understand the bondage that they were in. And they thank God that they've been delivered unto the true Christianity of the Bible. Amen. See, we don't trust a pope. We don't trust a priest. We trust the Word of God. And according to the Word of God, there's two Marys. There's that Mary that's associated with the whore of Babylon, and then there's the true Mary of the Bible. And the true Mary of the Bible is blessed, and we can be blessed as well. See, there's no such thing as Mary worship. The first commandment in the Bible is what? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the second commandment is what? Thou shalt not make unto thee any image, any graven image, of anything on the earth or in heaven. See? So right there, they've broken the first two commandments before they get out of the gate. You can't be worshiping Mary. Who was Mary? She was a woman. What does Luke 1 chapter say? Blessed art thou, verse 42, among women. What was she? Just another woman. She was blessed. She was chosen for a particular purpose. God used her greatly, but she was nothing other than a mortal woman. And to make her anything more than that is satanic and blasphemy against God. And I'm right and you're wrong if you think otherwise. You're welcome. Amen. I'll stand before God and give account of that someday, and so will you if you're an idolater. Good luck with that. Let me know how that works out for you. Now, I love you. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You've been lied to. That's not the Mary of the Bible, see? They call her their mediator. No, the Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. There's one way between you and God, and it's Jesus Christ. He was all man, and he was all God, and he has the capability of getting one hand on you and one hand on God and getting the two of you together. That's what a mediator is. Mary couldn't do that for you. She couldn't catch a fish for you. Amen. Listen, they call her the giver of grace. You know where all grace comes from? Christ is the giver of grace. Jesus Christ is by whom we receive all grace. It's not Mary. It's no one else. It's not a pope. It's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. If you want grace, grace comes from Jesus Christ. What is that? Unmerited favor. Amen. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That only comes from Jesus Christ. She is known in the Roman Catholic Church as the co-redemptress. Meaning what? She helped pay for your sins. That's blasphemy. Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins. He paid the whole price. You couldn't match it. You couldn't surpass it. There's nothing you could ever do to improve upon that. And to say that there's a co-redeemer is blasphemy. It's demonic. It's out of the pit of hell. See, so one thing you have to agree, we in the Roman Catholic Church don't believe the same. Now you decide what's right. Every one of us will give account of themselves to God. I decided what was right. I didn't grow up a Baptist. I didn't grow up a Catholic. I grew up an atheist. So I wasn't prejudiced. Amen. They say that Mary was a perpetual virgin. We'll look at some verses here in a little bit on that. But if you know anything about your Bible, you know that's not the case. How could she be a perpetual virgin and not end up Jesus having four half-brothers and at least two sisters? How'd she work that one out? Wait a minute, how could she be a perpetual virgin if she got married to Joseph after Christ was conceived? How could you, as a Jewish woman under the law, be married to a man for years and remain a virgin and fulfill your duties as a wife? That's making Mary into a sinner. They can't win on that one. It won't work. It doesn't fit. You're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, man. It ain't going to work. She was not a perpetual virgin. Another doctrine they teach about their Mary is this doctrine of the Immaculate Conception. Anybody know what that means? You say that to the average Catholic, they don't even know what you're talking about. They don't know what their own religion teaches. See? You talk about the Immaculate Conception, and you know what they think that is? The virgin birth of Christ. That's not the Immaculate Conception. The doctrine of the Immaculate Conception is that Mary was born sinless by a special work of grace from God. Well, after all, how else could she become the mother of God? See how that's done? Instead of the mother of Jesus, she's now the mother of God. What position does that put her in? See how it's done? See how they just twist that thing just a little bit like that? Next thing you know, you're off saying, well, then she must be a god if she gave birth to God. You see how they do it? That's how it's done. There's no such thing as an immaculate conception. There was an immaculate reception one time, but that was in the Super Bowl. That's different. Amen. Another heresy about Mary that they teach is Mary's ascension into heaven. That she was bodily raised just as Christ up into a cloud to enter into heaven. And she now sits with Christ on a throne in heaven. And because of that heresy, they then teach that she can hear the prayers of billions of Catholics all over the world at the same time. Who can hear everybody's prayers at one time beside God? Do you understand what they've done to Mary? They've turned her into a god. That is not the Mary of the Bible. Am I making myself clear? That is a lie from the devil. It is not true, and it's deceived and believed by more than a billion people on the face of this earth. Now, what you need to do is take a copy of this CD and send it to Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and see how much charity they have. Amen. She couldn't hear the prayer of a cat, Mary. She's just like you or me, just a person. They have her sharing the glory with Jesus Christ. Hey, nobody gets to rob Jesus Christ of his glory. It all goes to him. All goes to him. Amen. They make her out to be more compassionate than Jesus. Because see, Jesus is kind of mean. He's a man and all that. You know, he went into that temple that one time. See, Mary, she's a mother. And she's just sweet and kind. And she's got that motherly instinct to nurture and have compassion and care. That's why you really should, you know, take your beads and go through and say, you know, Hail Mary, you know, full of grapes, blessed be the fruit of the womb, or whatever, you know, that they do there, and that whole going through the prayer thing on the... What is all that? Somebody show that to me in the Bible? Now, Jesus did mention about vain repetition. You understand the Bible has nothing to do with Revelation 17? Say, why? What happened? Well, they kept the name of Jesus, and they kept, you know, some of the Bible stories and all that, but then they brought in all the paganism and just merged the two together. And a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that's where you end up with the great whore of Babylon, right there. They teach that she is the mother of God. And that is the greatest heresy that anyone could ever teach. She was not the mother of God, because that would make her to be the true creator and the true God. You see how it's done? That's a lie. That's a lie. Now, saying all that, we ought to admire Mary, the Mary of the Bible. And the Mary of the Bible was blessed. And we see as we go through this portion of Scripture is a blessing given to Mary. How many of you would like to be blessed in 2012? Raise your hand. Well, I'm going to show you how from Mary as an example of how you and I could be blessed. Look there with me in verse 42. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Notice there's a blessing. Blessing upon what? Her motherhood. Her parenthood. She's blessed in her motherhood. Hey, you want to be blessed? Mom and dad? I'll tell you how to be blessed. Raise your children for God. Amen. Amen. There's a blessing. You want a blessing? You know where you're going to get a blessing? From kids. Amen. Children are an heritage from the Lord. They're one of the greatest blessings you'll ever have in this life. Amen. And listen, people that don't like kids, they're miserable. You ever notice that? Most miserable people on the face of this earth are people that don't like kids. Amen. Amen. They don't want to have anything to do with kids. They don't like kids. Yeah, I know. That's why you're so miserable. I'm not miserable. See? Yeah, you are. You're miserable as can be. You want to be blessed. You know who the happy people are? You know who the happy parents are? They got a bunch of kids, and everybody loves each other and have a good time together. Amen. That's where the blessings are. You know what this world's taught now for years and years and years? Eugenics. Say, what do they teach you now? Well, you really shouldn't have more than one or two children. Anything more than that, I mean, that's bad for the environment, you know. All right, so which one of my two children do you want to kill to bring it down to two? That's what they want to do. You go right on the Georgia stone out there, they, for their one world government, they got right on that thing, written right there, that the population of the earth should be 500 million, half a billion. What is it right now, going on 7 billion? How many you got to get rid of? That's their plans for you. You haven't figured that out yet? That's their plans for you. You want to get rid of global warming? See, that's how you fix it up. The problem is CO2, isn't it? You know what the greatest CO2 emitter is on this face of this earth? It's 7 billion people breathing hot air. There's your cure. See, Al Gore will take care of it for you. And tax the rest of you that don't get killed off. Amen. Now, that's their plans. They don't believe in parenthood. They don't look at it as a blessing. None of these liberals look at parenthood as a blessing. I see a bunch of men, they don't get married or do anything. They get real old, and then also when they're about 45 or 50, well, we can't have any kids. What are we going to do? And then they adopt one and ruin them. Amen. Don't ruin them. Don't spoil them to death like that. I saw that just one of the most disgusting things I ever saw in my life the other day. They had the kiss heard around the world. Anybody heard about that? See it on the news or anything? The kiss heard around the world. You know what that was? All the sailors coming back into port, and they all take up a pool, and they get like lottery ticket things, and they can buy as many as they want, and it goes into the morale fund. And then what they do is one person has the winning ticket. And this one lady on there, this one female, I should say, on there, she bought 10 tickets, and she won. And the one that wins gets to give the first kiss when they get off the gangplank. They get to be the first one down to give a kiss. And so she gets down the gangplank, gets at the bottom of that gangplank, and walks over and kisses her wife. Big old French kiss. Right in front of everybody there, moms and dads with their kids to meet their husbands, spouses coming back. And that's what they get to see. This world is sick, man. This world is perverted. What kind of mom is that going to be? How is she going to be one? She can't do it naturally, that's for sure. Isn't that weird? That's sick stuff. Now it's allowed in the military. Oh, yeah, we're getting better by the day. It's evolution. We're improving. Now, if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you. Bridge to nowhere. That's about where you'll end up. Now, look at this thing, Mark chapter 3. She's blessed in her motherhood. Listen, she had children besides Jesus Christ. Look in Mark chapter 3. Let's go to the Bible. Mark chapter 3. That's our authority. Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Well, who is my mother, who is my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. He didn't recognize them because of his spiritual authority. But they were there. See? Mary had more children. Why? She was blessed. She was a blessed mother. She had kids. She had plenty of them. We find out that he had at least four brothers and two sisters besides Jesus. So she gave birth to at least seven children. Look in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Just a couple pages over. Mark chapter 6 and verse 2. Verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon, four brothers? And are not his sisters, plural, so at least two sisters, here with us? And they were offended at him. Now you see that thing? There's no doubt about it from the scriptures that Jesus Christ had half-brothers and half-sisters. And I say half because Jesus' father was a different father. Joseph was not Jesus' father. Amen. God was Jesus' father. But the rest of them, Joseph was their father. She was not a perpetual virgin. She was blessed in her motherhood. God blessed her by giving her children. Look there in John chapter 7. And children are a blessing, and they should be. And when you don't look at them as such, you're perverted. The greatest ability God gave to you and I is to produce life. What a blessing that is. Don't shun that. Don't frown down upon that. Now listen, I'm not saying you got to have a dozen kids. Don't get me wrong. But you have as many as you believe God wants you to have. The Bible says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full. Now, I don't know how big your quiver is. And it ain't none of my business. Maybe your quiver only hold one or two. Maybe your quiver will hold 10. I don't know. It's none of my business. Okay? That's between you and God. But don't be letting that government and that state in this world out there tell you how many you're supposed to have. You let God tell you. We okay? Amen? We good with that? All right, look there in John chapter 7. You all there? John chapter 7 and verse 2. Now Jesus' Feast of Tabernacles was, I'm sorry, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren, therefore, here's his brothers, said unto him, Depart hence, go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Even his own four half-brothers didn't believe who he really was. But you know what you find out as you read through the scriptures? All of his brothers ended up becoming Christians. After Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, their eyes were opened and they realized who he was that whole time. You know what that means? From what I can see in the scriptures and from church history, all of Mary's children became Christians. That's pretty good, isn't it? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing, Mama? Isn't that a blessing, Dad, to know that all your children got saved and are wanting to do something for God? You find some of them preaching. Some of Jesus' half-brothers ended up being preachers. Amen. After Christ rose from the dead, not before. Because the Bible didn't want you to think that it was Christ himself that had that influence. It was the Holy Spirit. And so it is afterwards when that happens. And so what a blessing. Mary was blessed. How did Mary become so blessed? Well, you know what she did? And this is something at the time that I don't think his brothers appreciated. You know what she actually did? Because Jesus was the firstborn, she put Jesus first. Mom and dad, you want your kids to be blessed? You want to be blessed in your parenthood? You know what you better do in your home? Put Jesus first. Amen. I'm sure sometimes that, you know, Joseph and you and all those guys, I'm sure they were pretty mad. Well, how come he always gets to go first? Well, how come he always gets his way? Well, how come you always favor him? You know how kids are, right? They all think, well, why do you love him more than me? You know, they all think that, right? And usually I'll just tell him because he's better looking. So, you know, that ends it. But, you know, well, go along with it. You know, you might as well entertain a minute. You know, entertain their thoughts for a while there. Listen, you know what she did, though? She did. And Jews, that was the tradition now, the firstborn. He got twice as much of the inheritance. Amen. It was that firstborn. That's who the honor went to. You understand? What we need to do is put Jesus first. If you'll put Jesus first, then God can do what he needs to do in the lives of your children. Amen. In the lives of your home. And you'll have a blessed home. How many of you would like to have a blessed home in 2012? Amen. Say, what do you do? Put Jesus first. Put Jesus first. Look with me there in verse 45, Luke chapter 1 and verse 45. Not only was she blessed in her motherhood, verse 45, and blessed is she that what? Believed. She was blessed in her faith. Hey, Christian, you want to be blessed? Believe. Believe. Just believe what God said. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you want to be blessed? I'll tell you how to get saved. Believe. That's how you get saved. Just believe that what Jesus Christ did for you was all that's necessary for you to go to heaven and ask Him to be your Savior. It's that simple. I don't want to complicate it. It is that simple. People like to complicate it. It really is that simple. I've told people that and they say, it can't be that easy. I said, well, try it out. See for yourself. Ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you and see if He will. Well, it couldn't be that easy. How do you know? Have you tried? It might surprise you. It might be that easy. You know, pray and ask Christ to come in your heart and save you. See if He will. I bet you He will, if you mean it. I bet you will. He did for me. And I know one thing for sure. Listen, if Jesus could save a wretch like me, He can save anyone. Amen? Amen? There's nobody beyond hope. All you need to do is call. You just need to call on the right one. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But she was blessed in her faith. Notice, if you would, back in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Angel's going to tell her, well, you're going to be pregnant, you're going to bring forth a child into the world. And Mary's like, well, hold on, I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. How am I going to be able to have a child? That makes no sense, right? I mean, she's right. I mean, look at it. You go by sight. You go by the circumstances. There's no way that should happen. But notice verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Christian, you believe that? You really believe that? See, that's how you need to pray. That's how you need to live. That's what you call a life of faith. You have to believe God. Don't go. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's what the Bible says. And as Christians, what you're told to do is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Because as a lost person, how do you live your life? By sight. Everything's just by the circumstances you see. You just go by this. You know what God says? Don't worry about what it looks like. Just believe me. Huh? Look with me in Hebrews 11. Let me show you something now. And this is a warning. I want to warn you. 2012 could be a blessed year for you. But you know what? Some of you might miss the blessing. You know why? A lack of faith. You just won't believe God. You're just going to do it your way. You're not going to wait on God. You're going to trust your feelings. You're going to trust your thoughts. You're going to trust your circumstances. Instead of believing that God could do it, when He puts you through that trial of your faith, you're going to fail the test. And when you fail the test, you miss out on the blessing. Don't miss out on the blessings. Say, what should I do? Believe. Just believe. Look there in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the great faith chapter in the Bible. And notice, verse 20, by faith Isaac. See that? Verse 21, by faith Jacob. And it gives each of these people and experiences in their life where they demonstrated faith. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Verse 27, for by faith he forsook Egypt. That's Moses. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover. That's Moses. Verse 29, by faith, they. Now there's the first time you get a plural. It's not an individual's faith. That's a nation. That's Israel. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. That's a picture of getting saved. It's the Red Sea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. You know what you do? You come through the blood. You come through the blood of Christ. You know what happens? You get saved. See, it doesn't seem possible. It didn't seem possible for them to make it through the Red Sea. You know what they did? They just believed. And they went forward. That's all. But you know what the sad part is? Look at the next verse. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. You know what the Bible just told you right there? Hey, the walls of Jericho fall down after that whole generation was wiped out in the wilderness. Why were they wiped out in the wilderness? They didn't believe God. They murmured. They complained. They went against God. They went against God's man. They weren't willing just to walk by faith and pray and trust God that it was going to go what God had promised. And what was the end result? They start dropping like flies, man. God said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you the promised land. Look to it. Look forward to it. What'd they say? No. We're going back to Egypt. We're looking back there at our old life. We're not interested in heaven. Our conversation is not in heaven. We're going to mind earthly things. Huh? That was Israel. You know what happened? They missed out on all the blessings. You want to be blessed? You might have some trials for your faith in 2012. You think? What are you going to do when the test comes? You going to pass the test? You know what? If you pass the test, you'll get a blessing. You'll get a blessing. Just believe God. Obey Him. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's look at another one here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 48. Verse 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Notice she didn't take any glory for herself there. What did she do? She gave all the glory to God. Why? Listen, she was blessed in her testimony. You know what she said? From now on, everybody's going to call me blessed. Why? She had a good testimony. Didn't she? What'd she do? She lived as a virgin so that God could pick her. That's a good testimony. She stayed pure so God could use her. That's a good testimony. And then God uses her, brings forth the Savior of the world through her. That's a pretty big blessing. And says, from now on, hey, everybody's heard of Mary. Hey, go check out a Quran one time. Even Muhammad had to give her a whole chapter. Amen. Now, of course, his Mary isn't the Mary of the Bible, but everybody knows who Mary is. And all generations shall call her blessed. Hey, one day she'll get her just desserts. You can count on that. See, what she do? She gave the glory to God. That's all. Well, Brother Ray, you talk too fast and you're short and you're arrogant and you're mean. Yeah, I know. How's the Lord done it then? Sure wasn't me, huh? Well, who has to get the glory then? It must be God. Amen! It must be God. Are you giving the glory to God? Don't rob God of His glory. Give it all to Him. Listen, that'll work forth a good testimony. That'll work forth a real good testimony. And that's what we need to be concerned with. No, let no man glory in man, the Bible says. It's important to have a good testimony, Christian. Do others know what God has done for you? That's all she's doing here. You know why she was blessed? She wasn't trying to brag on her. She was letting everybody know what God had done for her. See? As Christians, we're not bragging on our righteousness. Amen? We're bragging on the righteousness of God that he freely gave us through Jesus Christ. It's all because of Jesus. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. I have a Christian wife and saved kids because of Jesus Christ. I have a church to pastor because of Jesus Christ. I got a little money in my pocket because of Jesus Christ. I've got decent health because of Jesus Christ. I've got friends all around this world in this church because of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. He sure has been good. And that leads me to my last point in verse 50. Listen, you want to be blessed? Really? I'm going to show you how. Look at verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away, empty away. As he spake... I'm sorry, I missed a couple of verses there, didn't I? Empty away. Where am I at? Verse 54. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. This portion of Scripture here is called the Magnificat, because that's where Mary is singing and magnifying God. So in closing, you want to be blessed? Why don't you start doing this? Why don't you start spending more time praising God? That's what Mary did. Could I recommend it as a way to be blessed? I'm serious. You know what happens sometimes, man? You get up, and you get up in a bad mood, and then you go off to work in a bad mood, and then you have a bad day, and then you come home, and you're still in a bad mood, and now you and the wife are fighting, and you kick the dog and throw the cat out the window, you know. Go to bed mad at each other. Say, what happened? Well, how much of that day did you spend just praising God? How much of that day did you just, I mean, really, just driving it? Listen, instead of listening to Tom Petty on the radio, why don't you just turn the radio off and just say, God, I just want to thank you for being so good. God, you're so wonderful. Lord, you're so great. Lord, I wish there was a way for me to outbrag you. I wish there was a way where I could get to the point where I just said too much good things about you. I wish there was some way that I could lift you up too high, where somebody would say, no, you need to stop. I've lifted you up too high. I've exalted you too much. You know, I've never found with God that I can ever exalt him too much, where I can ever praise him too much. Lord, am I right? I can't. I can't praise you too much. I can't exalt you too much. I can't magnify you too much. I can't thank you too much. I can't praise you too much for how good you are to me. And we get in here and we open the hymns. It will be worth it all. Huh? Well, come on. Don't you want to be blessed? Man, what some of you need to do is get off your blessed assurance to get blessed. Amen. Spend a little more time just... glorying God and praising God. I mean, get out in the woods somewhere all by yourself so nobody thinks you're a nut and just have a shouting fit. Amen. Just lift him up. Here can stand up right now and say there was a time when you just praised him too much and you went overboard. You understand? That's impossible. I'm trying to tell you how to be blessed. You want to get a blessing? Man, that's how you'll get a blessing. Hey, what if a whole church started doing that in a building like this? What do you think would happen? If everybody just started really praising God in their heart and worshiping him and magnifying him and lifting... You know what I believe? I believe the devil would get such a hard time, he might just leave. Hey, you want to get rid of the devil? You don't talk to the devil. That encourages him. Amen. That's what happened to Eve. See? You know what you do? You just brag on Jesus Christ. You just lift him up. You just exalt him. You turn on some good Christian music that's praising the Lord. You just quote some verses and you just praise God and glorify him. Amen. That's why I like Romans 4 and 5 when the saints are in heaven and they're just glorifying the Lord and they're throwing their crowns before his feet and just exalting his name and praising him, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for by thee were all things created. The whole thing. I mean, they're just lifting up the Lord, exalting his name. How about it? Huh? Maybe in 2012 you start doing that a little more. You need to pray. You need to read your Bible. You need to witness. But I guarantee you, listen, I'm trying to help you. If you would, before all that, Spend a couple minutes every day just really praising God. You might find it a little easier to pray, a little easier to read your Bible, a little easier to witness. Huh? You want a blessing? I'm trying to tell you how to be blessed. Why are you getting mad at me for telling you how to be blessed? You ought to appreciate it. I'm telling you the truth. You want to be blessed? Listen. Parents, be thankful to God. Raise your children for the glory of God. It'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing to them. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to the church. It'll be a blessing to your country. It's just a blessing. That's where the blessing's found. You want to be blessed? Walk by faith. Believe God. That's what Mary did. You know what she said that last verse? She said in verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Last thing she said, "Whatever you say, God, whatever you say." Huh? You want to be blessed? Just believe what God said. And you'll be blessed. No matter how crazy it might seem, just believe God. You want to be blessed? Watch your testimony. Have a good testimony. Amen? It'll be a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to you. And if you want to be blessed, start magnifying the Lord. Amen? Start exalting Him and praising Him. I believe it was a blessing to Mary. She's just been blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed over again. And I believe it's an example for you and I, how we can be blessed. You want to start off 2012 the right way? Let's start off doing the things where we can get blessed. Amen? All right. Well, with that, I'll say the Lord bless you. Let's stand for prayer. Brother Doyle, I hope you're sure hope you're feeling better, brother. If you would, close us in prayer, please.